talking to some religious leaders. They've been following him around and harassing him. There's an account right prior to this that almost certainly did happen to Jesus, but it's probably not a good place for it to be placed where it has been traditionally. But it's the very familiar story of the woman who was brought to Jesus who was caught in adultery. And so Jesus is continuing his discussion here with these religious leaders. And it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I came from and where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I'm not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. It was April 3rd, 2012, and I had arrived in Kenya that morning. My transportation, which was actually an airport shuttle from Arusha in Tanzania, which was about 4 hours south, had dropped me off at the Jomo Kenyatta International Airport. This was a good place to meet my friend Elam, and he was going to meet with me, and we were going to take the bus the next day to Western Kenya, where he lived. By the way, Elam's going to be here with us in October, so you're finally going to meet this man that I've talked about. Well, anyway, back to the airport in Nairobi. We were on Kenya time. So that meant that I waited for hours after the appointed meeting time. The church services that I was supposed to speak at later in the week, every morning, they were supposed to start at 10, and I would usually get there about noon. And then the service would start about 2. So Kenya time, that's the way it works. So I was kind of used to Kenya time, to African time by then. In the meantime, while I waited, I stood in the shade of a sign near the entrance to the airport, which was also the bus stop. It was right at that sign where buses coming into the airport and leaving from the airport would come in. So it was a good place. It was exactly where Elam would get off the bus and meet me there. And I had a cap in my luggage. But since I was standing in the shade, I didn't think that I needed it. It turns out that I did. And it's interesting that Kathy gave that request concerning Heather with a sunburn. Standing in the shade of anything but a spreading and leafy tree at the equator means that the sun is going to get you, and it did. My head got fried. That terrible sunburned skull, combined with little or no caffeine for several days, and a rather harrowing 12-hour car ride to Webuye the next day, a friend of the brother of a friend here in Ashland came and insisted that he drive us to Western Kenya. And a bus would have been worse. That's all I can say. A bus would have been worse. But I went with Timothy in his car, and Neil sat in the back seat describing the trip. But anyway, all this, the sunburn, the no caffeine, the drive, meant that by the time I arrived at Elam's home for my first night in Webuye, I had a thundering headache. The kind that hurts right down to your toenails. And as I sat there with my head pulsating, with the chickens walking across my feet inside the home, it got dark. You see, they have no electric or running water or most any kind of modern conveniences. And so without that electric, I soon had an entirely new concept of darkness. The only light I had was a little combination pen flashlight with Great Lakes Conference and its motto printed on it, because every year at regional conference, Bishop John Zook would make sure that we had a new pen or a new gadget, a flashlight in a folding knife, a pen with Great Lakes Conference on it. This one had a little flashlight in it. And if you remember, right before I left for my trip to my sabbatical trip, we had regional conference. We sponsored regional conference annual meeting right here in Ashland. And so I had a couple of those pens, and I had one with me. It was the only light that I had. And at least I had that, because it was really dark. If they lit lamps, they were little lamps with a little bit of oil, and it just seemed like a match light worth of light. So it was so dark. And I missed Kathy so much. And my head hurt so bad. And I sat there and I literally remember thinking to myself, what have I gotten myself into? Well, the next morning I awoke with the chickens. They were outside the house by now. And when I awoke, it was hours before my hosts rose. And so I was by myself. I could think. And there was a gorgeous sunrise outside my window. And the sky was soon brilliant blue. And in the daylight, my discomfort and discouragement from the night before had all but dissipated. In the daylight, my mission was clear. I was there to minister to eager listeners. And I realized that light has a way of raising spirits. Jesus told his disciples here in our text, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In this second of seven I am statements of Jesus, our current series, Jesus is again proclaiming that he is the great I am, which was the first message in this series where God said, I am who I am to Moses when Moses was wondering who he was. And Jesus is saying, I am because I'm God. He's God, and in him, Jesus is saying, is no darkness. And that's good news in an increasingly dark world. As Christ followers, we have inherited that light. In fact, Jesus told us, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And that's from the Sermon on the Mount. When we absorb Jesus' light, we soon find out what he meant when he said, "No one who follows me stumbles in the darkness." And that's Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of Jesus' words in the paraphrase of the Message. As I said, all it takes is a moonless night in a remote African town with no electric, or simply turning out the light in a windowless room to realize how dark the darkness can be. These restrooms down here at the end of the hallway have no windows. If you turn out the lights when you're standing in there, and turn around so that you don't see the light coming in underneath the door, you'll have a pretty good idea of how dark can be. That's a good lesson in what it is, how it is for those without Jesus. This light was introduced right from the get-go in the Gospel of John. John writes in John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God from the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has not been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The Word is Jesus, and Jesus is God, and in God is life. He's the light, and the darkness cannot snuff it out. When we have the light, we will not stumble in the darkness. Light is obviously a recurring theme for the Apostle John. Listen to what he writes in his first letter, 1 John. "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we persist in walking in the darkness, we will stumble." We will walk into something. My sister Beth, if this kind of thing is going to happen to anyone, it will happen to my sister Beth. When she was a young girl, she made the mistake of also telling us about this then. But she had to get up in the night to go to the bathroom or something. And, of course, it was very dark. And she had seen in cartoons or whatever, because I don't think they had a TV, okay, that if you put your hands out in front of your body when you walk, like a blind man or a man. In fact, this is how sleepwalkers were always portrayed, walking like this. Beth thought that if you did this, she would walk like this and not hit any walls or anything. But she didn't expect the door to come right between her hands, and she walked right into the door. You will walk into something in the darkness, just like Beth did. And the idea here is, the point is, darkness is sin. Darkness is sin, and light is freedom from the penalty of sin. The light has always been available. The light has always been available, and it purifies us from all sin. That's the promise. That's the promise in 1 John. That's the promise all through John. And it's a no-brainer to step into the light, but many refuse. The people Jesus was talking to here in John 8 refused to see the light. And they challenge him with, and it's my paraphrase, how can you be your own witness? The law stated that conviction, that any kind of witness, came with the witness of two people. So since it was convenient for their point, they confront Jesus with the question, how can you make this statement when it's just you? You're only relying on yourself for reliability. And Jesus answers that they are missing the point of his I am statement, which is, you can count on God's word. And what he actually said was, in your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. In other words, he has the witness of two. Or, in Peterson's word from the Message, that fulfills the conditions set down in God's law, that you can count on the testimony of two witnesses. And that is what you have. You have my word, and you have the word of my Father who sent me. In other words, you can count on God's word. The word of Jesus and the word of God are one and the same. God testifies to himself because God can do that. In fact, Jesus makes that point. God only needs one witness if he's the witness. And Jesus' point is, in their darkness, they're missing the point. In their tunnel vision, they refuse to see the truth. Peterson says, you don't know where I'm from or where I'm headed. You decide according to what you can see and touch. I don't make judgments like that. But even if I did, my judgment would be true because I wouldn't make it out of the narrowness of my experience, but in the largeness of the one, capital O, who sent me, the Father. Darkness truly makes for a narrow experience. It's amazing how things get really small when you can't see. When you're driving down a dark road and your headlights reach out into the darkness, you can't look out into the fields. You can't see if there are hay bales or cattle or deer or a straight drop-off. It's a narrow experience. You can only see what's in front of you. In the sinkhole caves of Mexico, of eastern Mexico, especially in Oaxaca and in the Yucatan, which are jungle. There are sinkhole caves, and in those caves are fish in the tetra species, and they're called Mexican cave fish. And what is unique about this fish is that it has no eyes. The fish has no eyes. It doesn't need them in the total darkness of the deep water lakes, which are in the bottom of the caves. Talk about a narrowness of experience. They don't even need eyes anymore. Blind people could also be said to have a narrowness of experience. They're limited in what they can do for sure. One of my favorite hymn writers, and you know about this, is Fanny Crosby. She was blind from the time that she was 3 years old. Did that darkness limit her? Not at all. She wrote thousands of songs. Songs that spoke of vision and light over and over and over again. Words like the second line of the second verse of Blessed Assurance, where she sings, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Word pictures. And she's seeing this even though she's blind. And then there's the third verse of that same song where she revels, perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching a blind person watching and waiting, a blind person looking above. She wasn't blind. She wasn't in darkness, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. She may have been in physical darkness, but she was in spiritual splendor. Her songs are full of such imagery because she knew that she could count on Jesus' word, and that was what all that mattered. And then finally, to know the Father, you need to know the Son. And this was Jesus' point when he responded to the Pharisees with, "You don't know me or my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." Jesus was once again affirming that he is God the Son. And he did it with this I am statement. I am the light of the world. Peterson says, "You're looking right at me and you don't see me. How do you expect to see the Father? If you knew me, you would at the same time know the Father." Essentially, it's as the heading has in the message for this entire section. You're missing God in all this. You're missing God in all this. But the Pharisees were like so many people that we encounter day in and day out. They're missing God, and they know what they're up to. They're not even trying to see God. They don't want to see God. They don't want to be limited by him. You can't find God in any other way but through Jesus. And contrary to what they think, to what many may think, all roads do not lead to heaven. God's name is not Allah, not in the same way. God's name isn't Buddha. Buddha didn't even intend to be a god. He was just a man. God's name is not anything other than I am. And the only way to know him is through the light of the world, Jesus Christ. If you don't want to see God, you won't find him. But conversely, anyone who makes an honest search for God will find him. A few years ago, and I've told you about Gary before, but there was a man in a class that I taught for the denomination. His name was Gary, was a Jewish man, grew up, and I can't remember whether I told this story here or if I told it to the Kakmars, because I know I did. Because the Kakmars were sharing about the man that they had been working with in Madrid, who had been searching and searching and searching, and finally he was walking by the church one day when Bruce was locking up the church there in Madrid. And he says, "I see that this is a Christian community. Tell me about that." And through the months of Bruce working with him, coming to prayer meetings and all, this man came to faith in Jesus Christ. He had explored everything. Our friend Gary, and I say ours because Lori was in that class, our friend Gary was a Jewish man who grew up in a secular Jewish family. They were atheists. Well, they just didn't believe anything because they just didn't think about it. Yes, he had his bar mitzvah when he was 13 and all. But there was something out there. He knew that there was something else. And when he went to college, he started really searching for answers. He didn't know what he was even looking for. And he looked into Eastern religions, he looked into Islam, he even looked into his own Judaism. And then he bought a Bible. And it shook him up so much that he tried to burn it, and he tried to throw it away, but he couldn't. And he explains this with kind of a Jewish accent. It's a lot of fun. Then at one point, and I think he was 19 years old, he's at college, he's in a lecture hall all by himself, and he steps into a dark room. Talk about darkness. He steps into a darkness and he yells into the darkness, "God, if you're out there, show yourself to me." And his response after that was, "And you know, Keith, I was really disappointed. He didn't talk to me." It was so Jewish. I was really disappointed. But he didn't give up on his search, or he didn't say, "Oh, forget it." And over the next several years, God more and more did reveal himself. God didn't come blasting out of the darkness. He came softly and tenderly, to use another old hymn, to Gary over the years, until Gary, with no assistance from anyone else, with no one, no preacher talking him through the sinner's prayer, no witness at a Billy Graham crusade, he got down at his bedside in his own room and came to Jesus on his own, completely independent of anybody else. If you really want to know God, you will find him. And that's what happened to Gary. And Gary eventually came to the Brethren in Christ Church because he was interested in Wesley's teaching. And living in Washington, D.C. as a lawyer for the Federal Trade Commission, he found our Brethren in Christ Church in Williamsport, Maryland. So that's how we got to know him. My point is, if you really want to know God, if anyone really wants to know God, they will find him. Because that's how good he is. He's not going to turn down an honest search. And something that we can do so that the Garys of the world don't have to find Jesus all on their own is that we can help others make an honest search. We can be there for them while they're making that honest search. Not speaking Christianese, just being there for them, praying for them, answering their questions, saying, "I don't know, but I'm going to find out," when you don't know the answer, rather than giving a dumb or a wrong answer. Help others make an honest search and tell them about the light of the world. And most of all, be light of the world for them. Be light in the darkness for them. No one who follows the light of the world will stumble. Because our way is illumined. And you can count on God's word because it's been corroborated by God's Son, Jesus Christ. And if you want to know God, you need to know the Son. Later in this series, we'll study the I Am statement, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." As a matter of fact, it's almost down at the end. We never have to fear in the dark. What we know to be true in the light makes sure that we never have to fear anything in the dark. And today, we know that he's the light of the world. So let's bask in that light. Let's have that spiritual splendor that Fanny Crosby had. Amen? Amen. Let's stand.